Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
And the concern at that point was prescription opioid misuse. And that still is a component of the current epidemic.
Trump's state of emergency announcement about the current opioid epidemic could mean more funding for local anti-drug programs.
Two Moorhead women are facing federal drug charges.
Six deer in Rowan County have been found with EHD.
In sports, the Bengals have a preseason game with the Buccaneers tonight at home.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Stay tuned for the complete forecast after this news.
Program manager for the Kentucky Drug Overdose Prevention Program is considering new programs that may come from a recent White House announcement. President Trump announced Thursday that the opioid crisis in America is officially a state of emergency, and Dana Quisenberry says that could mean funding for programs to stop the epidemic. Quisenberry is the program manager for the DO program at the University of Kentucky College of Public Health's Kentucky Injury Prevention and Research Center. She says prescription drug abuse has become a smaller part of the epidemic because of intervention already in place.
You're talking about targeted enforcement by law enforcement, reduction of the number of prescription drugs that are available by limiting prescriptions or requiring registration and requesting of patient reports from your prescription drug monitoring program, which in Kentucky is CASPER. You know, those interventions were all put into place to reduce the supply side of the equation of prescription opioid misuse.
Quisenberry says many researchers believe that once the prescription opioids became more difficult to find, users turned to heroin that was more readily available.
A public comment period on the EPA's proposal to delay methane protections came to a close this week. The Obama-era rule would put restrictions on methane emissions from new oil and gas wells, which supporters say are important to protect the environment and public health. Mary Sherman reports.
The Environmental Protection Agency finalized rules in 2016 to reduce methane pollution released from new oil and gas facilities. And the agency's new director, Scott Pruitt, once the rules delayed for 2 years. Terry Schumacher says shortly after her family retired to a farm in eastern Ohio, gas development began nearby. Now her family is experiencing a multitude of health problems, including headaches, rashes, and breathing difficulties.
It's heart-wrenching. When you can't breathe, that's horrible. I've experienced a few episodes myself where I've had to go inside my home. I can't even be outside. We just are at the mercy of our lawmakers to try to regulate and oversee this development.
The standards require companies to take steps to reduce pollution, including identifying and fixing gas leaks. Pruitt argues that the oil and gas industry did not have enough input on developing the new standards, which it claims are too expensive to implement. Mary Sherman reporting.
Two Moorhead women have been taken into federal custody after allegedly circulating thousands of oxycodone throughout eastern Kentucky. The federal indictments were handed down this week for 40-year-old Shelley White of Dry Creek Estates and her mother, 61-year-old Debbie Ginter of North Folk Trailer Park. The arrests stem from a long investigation by the Rowan County Sheriff's Office and the Moorhead Police Department's task force. White was lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center with several charges, including 7 counts of wanton endangerment. Ginter was retained by the Rowan County Sheriff's Office and released to the DEA.
For the first time ever, Mega Millions and Powerball both have jackpots in excess of $300 million. That's the 14th largest Powerball jackpot ever and the 5th largest Mega Millions jackpot. The Kentucky Lottery president and CEO Tom DeLisensory says there's no way to explain why the jackpots have simultaneously entered this rarefied air.
Well, you know, you're just talking about probabilities and numbers. 2 years ago, we had a $1.6 billion jackpot, and nobody saw that coming. We've had dueling jackpots before, but typically one of the two gets hit before they get to $300 million.
The next Mega Millions drawing is tonight, and Powerball next plays on Saturday. DeLisensory reminds players to play responsibly, pointing out it takes just one ticket to win.
The Department of Motor Vehicles Commission met today to discuss the case of Auto Plaza USA. The car dealership allegedly scammed thousands of customers out of a combined $465,000 in taxes. According to WKYT, the commission has the power to revoke the dealership's license, but in order to pay back their massive debt, they will need to be allowed to remain open. Motor Vehicle Commissioner John Mark Hack says they believe this is the only way the dealership will be able to pay back what they owe.
Our customers are going to be made whole, and they're going to be made whole more quickly through relief of the outstanding tax liabilities and penalties and interest that they've been assessed by the practices committed by Auto Plaza USA.
Attorney General Andy Beshear announced a $1 million lawsuit against the dealership in a press conference last week, promising to protect and seek restitution for all of the 1,400 people deceived by the company.
With the governor recently confirming plans to address pension reform first and taxes second, lawmakers are gearing up for a demanding special session. WUKY's Josh James reports.
The word you most hear lawmakers using is challenging. And while the prospect of addressing both pension and tax reform simultaneously, as originally proposed, met with some skepticism, breaking the two issues apart could carry its own risks. Critics like Jason Bailey with the left-leaning Kentucky Center for Economic Policy argue the tax overhaul is necessary to generate more funds to plug the state's deepening pension debts. But Republican Senator Danny Carroll tells Spectrum News a course correction on pensions alone is possible.
But maybe going back to those who have 10 years or less in the system, there are some things we can do to change at that point. And I think there's some savings that we can have in the structure of the pension programs themselves and how they're established. So maybe to get more money on the investment end back into the retirements.
Raising taxes, however, appears off the table or highly unlikely. With little appetite among Republican majorities in the General Assembly and Governor Matt Bevin making it clear he will not sign off on tax increases to, quote, pay for the sins of the past. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Six deer in Rowan County have been found with epizootic hemorrhagic disease. EHD is spread by infected midge bites and generally causes death in infected deer within 72 hours, rather. Nathan Gregory is the regional coordinator for the State Department of Fish and Wildlife's Northeast Region. He says this year's outbreak is unusual.
It's usually associated with drought. For this year, it's not. I don't really have an answer for why, but normally the outbreaks in the past have been associated with drought years, but obviously that's not true for our part of the world.
EHD has not been proven to be transmittable to people or pets, but hunters should avoid eating tainted meat.
There will no longer be a public viewing of the upcoming eclipse at the Rowan County Public Library. Due to overwhelming public response, the event has been canceled. Library officials say they expect it to be over capacity. They apologize for any inconvenience.
Rowan County's new technology college will bring the 21st century jobs to a capable workforce, so says State Representative Rocky Adkins. Adkins appropriated money for the upcoming Center of Excellence in Advanced Manufacturing in the 2014 legislative session. He says $7 million of the $35 million facility was raised locally, and it's local people who will be the future professionals of Kentucky's booming aerospace industry.
We're training this unbelievable workforce that we've got throughout East Kentucky in this region. I mean, folks that can run equipment, people that can weld, people that can work on engines, people that work for the railroad, people in the steel industry. This workforce is the greatest workforce in the world that can be retrained to do anything. So I see us being able to diversify the economy of East Kentucky.
The college is a partnership of Morehead State University and Maysville Community and Technical College. Adkins says the facility is still undergoing construction at the MMRC Industrial Park and should be finished later this year.
With the district's new 2017-18 academic year now 2 days old, Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore says he's pleased so far with how traffic has flowed around its seven schools. Moore says things in both the mornings and the afternoons have gone well.
I don't know what we could have done to make it go any smoother. I just noticed this morning on the second day, the trucks are flowing back and drive both to high school and middle school, that all traffic was gone. And that tells me everybody's working together and obeying the traffic regulations we got up here, and it seems to be working very well.
Moore says district officials work with members of the City of Moorhead Police Department and the Rowan County Sheriff's Department to design a working traffic flow system. He reminds those parents who don't want to wait in traffic to drop off or pick up their children that they can have them ride one of the district's 43 buses back and forth to school.
A $30 million project at Moorhead St. Clair Regional Medical Center is moving along on schedule. Hospital President and CEO Mark Neff says crews should need only about 90 more working days to complete SCR's new medical services pavilion. Neff says they're mainly focused right now on completing the interior of the structure.
Kind of finishing issues, so drywall work has begun on all the spaces. As folks drive by, the brickwork is well underway. I think in the last day or two, started with installing windows and the limestone base. So there's just a whole variety of folks over there, subcontractors that are kind of doing everything at once.
Neff says St. Clair will begin moving personnel into the new medical service pavilion in December. Once completed, the facility will have offices for over 100 physicians and be a one-stop center for all of SCR's cancer care services.
A dozen Lexington forums dubbed Courageous Conversations were held earlier this year, covering topics like policing, race relations, and LGBTQ+ inclusion. Inspired by a Commerce Lexington trip to the Charleston, South Carolina church where a mass shooting took 9 lives in 2015, a group called Together Lexington gathered more than 400 volunteers interested in challenging face-to-face conversations. Sherry Evans Depp with Lexmark says the meetings were about more than airing concerns or forming recommendations.
We also had people in the various neighborhoods where we held the sessions who came in who perhaps never sat next to a police officer or sheriff's deputy before. And we've seen a ripple effect of just having those opportunities to connect with each other.
Comments from the sessions made their way into two reports released yesterday, which will be passed along to civic, business, and government leaders.
The Ashland City Commission has agreed to help business developers turn the Ashland Plaza Hotel into a chain brand lodging. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, the hotel developers will buy the Plaza Hotel for $16 million and transform it into a Marriott Delta. City Economic Development Director Chris Pullum says the sale will likely close next month. The city is banking on the new hotel spurring economic growth downtown that will generate more revenue from property, sales, and payroll taxes. A consulting firm hired by the city estimates the local tax increment financing will provide the city with $4.7 million over the next 20 years. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
It will be a long time before Maysville and Mason County are back to normal, so says City Mayor David Cartmell. He says the flood damage in his town and in the county resulting from a July 23rd rainstorm will easily clear the federal threshold of $6.2 million required for the area to receive federal help.
I really think we'll be working on this for years because the streams here will have to be restored. I mean, there are washouts of major creeks here where the entire channels were moved over, 50 feet. We've got a major creek that's washing under a state highway now.
Cartmell has identified that road as Kentucky 3056. He says while things may appear to be normal in Maysville's downtown, many of the lower levels of those buildings sustained major flood damage, and it may not be easy for their owners to get federal assistance for the needed repairs. Cartmell notes several elderly Maysville residents are still homeless and living in what he calls some pretty stark conditions.
A woman has been arrested in connection with two bomb threats yesterday in Morgan County. Kentucky State Police allege 23-year-old Brittany Fletcher threatened to have placed explosive devices at Morgan County Judicial Center and Morgan County Schools. Authorities searched the buildings, but no devices were found. Fletcher was arrested by West Virginia police. She faces two counts of first-degree terroristic threatening.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. This afternoon, expect some isolated showers and thunderstorms. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with lows around 65. There's a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, then isolated showers after midnight. On Saturday, there's a 20% chance of isolated showers before 1, partly sunny with highs near 81. And on Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 61 degrees. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 84 in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg and Winchester. It's 81 in Inez, 84 in Lexington, and it's 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On today's feature segment, Dr. John Modaff wonders why people who used to agree now disagree on open borders. We seem to be having a little technical difficulty this afternoon. We'll go with one more story from our Jackson Associated Press office. Officials say they've gotten preliminary approval for funds to support two projects in eastern Kentucky. The Lexington Herald Leader reports U.S. Representative Hal Rogers and the State Energy Environmental Cabinet announced this week that $1.95 million grant will go to help fund a campground for elk viewing in Breathitt County, and a $1.15 million grant will help fund a training program for utility workers at Hazard Community and Technical College. The campground is projected as a tourism attraction and will include trails for horses and off-road vehicles.
And a missing man was found alive on Friday morning in Clark County, has now died. WKYT reports 76-year-old Kenneth Davis died at Clark Regional Hospital shortly after being recovered from a ravine off Shoalsville Road and Mountain View Lane. Davis's wife reported him missing yesterday. Rescue crews say he was found near an ATV, which had also fallen into the ravine. According to the Clark County Fire Department, a medical helicopter was unable to fly to the scene due to dense fog.
And one more shot at today's feature segment. Dr. John Modaff wonders why people who used to agree now disagree on open borders.
We so love the idea of an open country where everyone and anyone who needs a place to live can come, be safe, earn a living, and pursue happiness. The vision of this shining city on a hill is so appealing, it blinds us to one tenacious yet critical fact. It won't work. Our hearts are always bigger than our plates. We are a nation of a mere 300 and some million, with millions of square miles of open land. But even with those conditions, there must be a limit to who may come. Why? To find an answer to that, we need look no further than Democrats. Not current party spokespersons, but Democrats and other progressives who had not yet lost their minds. For example, did you know that back in 2006, a significant number of Democrats favored the erection of a wall down south? Even Senator Obama at the time stated that a better fence and better border security would, quote, help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration, close quote. Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer all voted in favor of the so-called Secure Fence Act. In principle, these senators saw that vulnerable Americans were harmed by a range of stresses incurred when illegal immigration was not controlled. Why, amazing though it may sound, they were even able to utter the words illegal immigration. Other iconic Democrats have also over the years supported radical controls on immigration. The oft-cited Hart-Celler Act of 1965 focused not only on opening borders to keep families together, but also on skilled labor. The idea was to improve the nation by letting people come who would add value, in particular through work. Seems like only yesterday that notion had ambitious support from members of both parties. Today, an overweening compassion has perhaps led to amnesia among prominent thinkers who take it as an article of faith that every woman, man, and child on the planet ought to have a right, a constitutional right, according to some, to come to the USA to live. They will not accept restrictions in the face of family. They will not consider that there may be a limit to the number of passengers the world's finest lifeboat can carry. Under their logic, the population of the U.S. could soar to 7 billion. Just to be fair, I suppose the progressive hero that put it best before the party most recently lost its way and its mind was hero of the left Bernie Sanders. Why, just in 2015 he was speaking against open borders, claiming manifold harms to low-wage workers and kids. So today's head-scratcher is this. What triggered the evolution in the views of so many people toward an open borders policy? Why do people now object to the wall they once voted to fund? Have they failed to find their Confucius in Bernie Sanders? Meantime, we wait for someone to explain how any plan is going to work. We can rest assured one thing is true. Someone is wrong about this, and we may have to find out the hard way who it is. I'm John Modaff.
When he's not forcing listeners to question everything, he's teaching students to do the same as a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 4:51 and 83 degrees here in Morehead. Sean Delaney has sports after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Morehead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
The road to the Super Bowl begins. Good day to you. This is MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Bengals kick off their preseason schedule tonight as they host Tampa Bay at 8 o'clock at Paul Brown Stadium. Coach Marvin Lewis says the Buccaneers, who made a run at an NFC playoff berth last season, will be a good opening test for his Bengals.
It'll be fun. I don't know how long their guys will be out there. I have an idea how long our guys will be out there, and as far as our starting groups. But we're going to go out. We got to get started playing football again. It's important that we do that.
Lewis and his staff will likely use tonight's outing to get extended looks at the Bengals' youngsters and newcomers. Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended for 6 games after a year-long NFL investigation of his domestic violence case in Ohio. The 2016 NFL rushing leader was suspended despite prosecutors deciding more than a year ago not to pursue the case involving Elliott's girlfriend at the time. The league said Friday there was, quote, substantial and persuasive evidence, unquote, that Elliott had a physical confrontation last summer with his ex-girlfriend, Tiffany Thompson. The Morehead State football team will host its second inter-squad scrimmage of preseason camp tomorrow at Jane Stadium. While he already has a good idea on how he'll use several of his players on his roster, Coach Rob Tenier says the outing will give him a chance to see how some of the others may fit in.
You know, after the second scrimmage, then we sit down, we revisit that depth chart, and then, you know, make some decisions. And even after that, I mean, there's a few weeks left there to make some adjustments and, you know, make sure that, you know, we've got proper depth at all of our positions, make sure that we're good in the kicking game because we've got three freshmen there, and make sure that we're going to be consistent enough going into August 31st.
That's when the MSU football team opens the 2017 season against Kentucky Christian University. Round County travels to Nicholas County this evening for an 8 o'clock scrimmage as part of EKC Gridorama. Round County head coach Kelly Ford believes Nicholas will give his Vikings a much-needed test tonight. The Blue Jackets went 6-5 last season, but Ford notes that Nicholas bench boss Robert Hopkins has lost several key players from that squad.
He said he lost crucial 15 seniors last year that you know they have been molding together for a while, and they're kind of in the rebuilding stage, and you know they're kind of a decent team to compare to us anyway.
The Vikings football team opens the regular season next Friday at Morgan County. And finally, our last story for today. Speaking of those Cougars, first-year Morgan coach Mark Easterling says as he reloads his program, his team is not without some ability. Easterling likes that the Cougars have plenty of guys who have very good speed.
We've got a lot of skilled players. Our skilled players have really committed this winter to the weight room to get yourself better. We're pretty deep at all of our skilled positions. So that's going to be a big time plus for us for our for the way we're wanting to play offensively and the way we're going to play defensively.
Easterling admits, though, Morgan County lacks size and depth at the line of scrimmage. He's trying to restock the Cougars' roster after they ended last season with only 15 players. And that's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State's fall sports, including football, volleyball, and soccer. Soccer hosts Valparaiso in an exhibition match on Sunday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 1 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities edged higher as investors weighed tensions between the U.S. and North Korea heading into the weekend, and the Dow Industrials did manage a gain of 14.31 at 21,858.32. The S&P 500 was up 3.11 at 2441.32, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 39.68 at 6256.56. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Stocks were coming off their worst session since May as tensions between the U.S. and North Korea linger. Earlier, stocks caught a bid after the Labor Department said the Consumer Price Index edged up 0.1% last month versus expectations of a 0.2% gain. The index is a widely followed inflation metric, and the weak reading was seen as good news for investors who want the Fed to keep interest rates lower for longer. In earnings news, Snap posted a larger-than-expected loss and smaller-than-expected revenue, sending the stock down 14%. And JCPenney stock also fell sharply after the struggling retailer turned in a mixed second-quarter report that included a greater-than-expected loss in earnings. The stock got hammered, falling nearly 17%. Graphics chipmaker NVIDIA saw its stock fall after reporting stronger-than-expected earnings. Though one of the best-performing stocks in the entire market this year, investors were disappointed by its slow growth in its unit that serves artificial intelligence applications. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 0.4%, finishing at $48.80 a barrel, and gold was up 0.5% at $1,296.90 an ounce. European markets fell, with the Stock 600 index down 1%. Asian markets also dropped, with Shanghai down 1.6% and South Korea's KOSPI index down 1.7%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Microsoft and Cisco. The worst performers were Travelers and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were TripAdvisor and Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the worst performers were NVIDIA and Mylan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, is Ashland Global down 27 cents at 6080, CSX up 43 cents at 5027, AEP down 79 cents at 7057, AK Steel down 22 cents at 511, Marathon Petroleum down 3 cents at 5218, and Community Trust Bank was down 55 cents to finish at 4185. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Mostly cloudy skies for the MSPR listening area tonight, with lows around 65 degrees and a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. It's 83 degrees here in Morehead.
Since today marks the 44th anniversary of the birth of hip-hop, we're going out with the Sugar Hill Gang. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindbergh, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From WUKY, Josh James, Kentucky News Connections, Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles and Will Clark, and Morehead State University professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.